Let's turn to the Word of God this morning on page 1157 of the Pew Bibles. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and at verse 1. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping this income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door of effective work has opened for me, and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about your brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go with you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know what the household of Stephanas were, the first converts in Achaia. And they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins the work and labors in it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunus, and Acacius arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refresh my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The church in the province of Asia sends you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the churches that meets in their house. All the brothers have sent you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, I curse on him. Come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you for the extremely warm welcome that I've received already, and it is a joy to be back here at Holy Trinity with you. I am conscious that many of you won't know me, but for 14 years, I was the vicar of St. Paul's Kingston Hill, just the other side of the park, and had a strong partnership with Holy Trinity through Trevor and Kate Patterson, and have been here many times before, and they have been over to my church there and spoke there. And it was a church, it is a church, very like this church in terms of its size and its character and its makeup and its vision and its heart for what as a church, we believe God is doing and wants to do. But then 3 years ago, God called me, quite against my wishes, to another church, to St. Richard's in Ham. And if St. Paul's was a large, thriving, happy church, moving in as an evangelical, charismatic church, and the power of God and the work of the Spirit, St. Richard's is none of those things. St. Richard's was, and to a certain extent remains, a small, struggling church. At the time, it was a very divided congregation, And it's also very traditional in its forms of worship. The songs that we sung this morning, none of those would ever feature at St. Richard's at the moment. And it was very clear that God was calling me. It was unmistakable. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. And a year and a half ago, during your interregnum, I came here and shared that story. And I'm not going to repeat it. But what I have come to share with you is what God has been doing since. And in particular, to reflect on 1 Corinthians 16, which, as Dan said to me, by God-given coincidence, which happens quite a lot, actually fits in wonderfully well. And it's good that you're looking at the last chapter, because I don't know what your experience is, Dan, but often in preaching series from the letters of Paul, people miss out the last chapter, because it's basically lots of names. I mean, especially if you read Romans, all these different names, and you kind of think, well, you know, can we actually really relate to that? It's quite difficult. But what it reminds us is that Paul did not write doctrinal treatises. He didn't think, right, I'm going to write Romans that the church for 2,000 years will study and puzzle over and try and work out what I meant in the Greek. No, he was writing a letter to a group of people that he had a relationship with, or that he wanted to deepen a relationship with. And so those names at the ends of the letters, it reminds us, these are people writing to other people. These are Christians writing to other Christians, writing to encourage, sometimes to challenge, writing to bless. And this letter to the Corinthians is no different. And you've seen over the weeks that there are things that Paul wants to challenge and say, oh, don't do that, guys. And there are times when he wants to encourage and to speak blessing. Correction and encouragement. It's about partnership in ministry. It's about being fellow workers across churches. So actually it's very appropriate that the leader of a different church comes and talks to you today about 1 Corinthians 16. And he starts off talking about the collection for God's people. So the situation was this, that the church, the mother church in Jerusalem, was not doing well financially. And Paul thought it would be a wonderful thing for the Gentile churches, who by God's grace had been grafted into the vine of Judaism, to raise a collection to support that church back in Jerusalem. It would be a sign of God's grace that they had received to bless back now the church out of which they were born. And so when he talks about setting aside money on the first day of the week, bringing your gifts to church, bringing your tithe, your offering, it's actually not just for the upkeep of the church. It's about blessing others. That's why they're collecting this money. And you need to be aware that first century Christians in Corinth were not primarily wealthy people. There were one or two wealthy individuals among them, but a lot of them were of the slave class, not the slave-owning class. And he talks about the fact that some of them are coming to church hungry. Some of them would have been really on the breadline, just surviving. But it's to those people that says, Paul says, be generous. Put aside money to give to others. And give away, which is sacrificial, which is generous. And that's still the same today. That God encourages us to give sacrificial and generously to bless others. And you do as a church. I don't know how well you know your church's finances, but I checked with Dan. You give generously to mission. I hope you know that. You're supporting St. Peter's in Kampala and Caris Kids and Riverbank Trust and Kick London and Wycliffe Bible Translators and others. That's brilliant. That's doing what Paul said you should do. But also each year you give generously to the Diocese of Southwark. You're giving £120,000 next year. Now, that pays for the cost of having a vicar. Not, sadly, that Dan gets paid £120,000 or anything like it. Actually, really, really nothing like it at all. But they work out that the cost of having a clergy person, a vicar leading your church, is much more than the salary, because There's a cost of training, there's a cost of housing, there's a cost of cathedrals and central authorities, and there's a pension cost at the end. So they reckon it's about 75,000. That's roughly what they say. Now, you give more than that. And what you're doing by giving more than that is actually enabling me to be the vicar of St. Richard's in Ham. Because I've told you, it's a small, struggling congregation in a deprived community. So actually, if you add together everything that we get in all forms of income over the year, it's going to be about this year, £42,000. And they reckon the cost of a vicar is £75,000. So there's no way that Sir Richard Ham can afford ministry, can afford to have someone to lead it in mission. But because you give generously and over the odds, that enables churches like mine to have clergy in leadership. And so you are doing exactly what Paul is talking about and partnering with us in the gospel. And I am profoundly grateful because we could not do it on our own. Our roof leaks badly. Our boiler has just broken down and needs replacing. And so, you know, we need all the money that we can get raising ourselves to pay for those costs. And so it's marvelous that the diocese is paying for me and you are contributing to that. And we give a little of that, a small amount of that, but you are supporting us. So thank you. You are investing in the kingdom of God. And I believe, because Jesus says so, that when you give generously and sacrificially, he will give back to you. Now, for years, St. Richard's Ham has been taught, we're a poor congregation. We can't give anything. We haven't got any money spare. And so if you look in their accounts for the last couple of years, it says mission giving, zero. And one of the things that I have set out to change in the last year and a half since I was appointed there, say, well, can we actually do something about that? It's good to be generous. Jesus says be generous. Other churches are being generous to us. So I'm thrilled to say that for our budget next year, we've said we're going to tithe. Whatever we get in, we'll give a tenth of that and give that to mission. But this year, well, we aren't quite there yet. So we'll give £1,000 to our four mission charities that we've picked. So today in the Riverbank Trust pigeonhole or basket, whatever it is, there's a check for £250 because we're saying we want to set out on this journey. Generosity breeds generosity, and I believe that God will bless that. And it's the same in our lives, that we get the same clergy salary that Dan gets, which is not a lot. I think it's 26 this year, something like that. But I believe that we tithe that to the church, and I believe that we give beyond that to mission, because that's what I've been taught. And I believe, too, that as we look back over our lives, God has blessed us in that. Because Jesus says, the measure that you use to be generous to others, that's the measure God will use to be generous to you. And at St. Richard's, we have just had a wonderful illustration of that this past week. So I pick up my post from the church school next door, and I picked up this envelope, didn't know anything about it. Where's this from? It's usually something I don't want. It was a check for £5,000 from a former member of the church who's remembered the church in his will. We make this decision. We're going to give away. And within a few days, we get a check. Then I get an email from the diocese saying, listen, we've got £2,000 mission money that's going to be lost if we don't spend it this week. Can St. Richard's find a way of spending £2,000 for mission? I'm going, I'm sure we can. Ah, here's six different things that we could do with it. So, you see, you take a step, you show generosity, you give beyond perhaps what you think you can afford, and God, I believe, will bless that. So thank you for your giving as a church. And I encourage you individually, remember what Paul says. And he talks a lot more about it in 2 Corinthians when there's a sort of follow-up to this collection. The more we give, the more God will bless. And then he goes on and talks about a great door of opportunity. This is verse 8 of chapter 16. I'll stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost because a great door for effective work has opened to me. And that's what I have found, what we have found at St. Richard's. Half a dozen people felt called by God to come and join us, my wife and myself, when we went. And since then, there was another lady that decided to join, and Becky Edwards from here decided to join us as well. So a small group have joined in. And what we found is that people there say, well, we've never had teaching from the Bible like this. Well, we've never had people praying for us like this. And Alpha, well, we've never done Alpha, and we didn't really want to do Alpha, actually, thank you. That's what churches like Holy Trinity Richmond do. But actually, I've been preaching the gospel, and people have been grateful. We've been praying for people, and people have been grateful. And we've just finished our first ever Alpha course, and people writing in the feedback form that we were given were grateful, including someone who said, well, I swore I would never do this course. And I said, why? And she said, I don't know, really. But anyway, I've quite enjoyed it. And that's been brilliant. So to give you an idea, on the best Sunday, we had 40 people in church for our service. And that day, we had 26 stay for Alpha, plus the people who prepared the meal. On our worst day, we had 30 in church, and 20 stayed for Alpha. So that's pretty good, isn't it? And a great door for effective work has opened to us. And that's what we are stepping into. And one of the worst things that was the problem at St. Richard's was a broken relationship with the church school. You have a strong relationship with your church school. St. Richard used to. But thanks to a series of things that went wrong, the church was banned from going in the school, and the school was banned from going in the church. And now there is real reconciliation, there is real renewal, and there is a real strengthening relationship again. So tomorrow I will be in school giving an assembly about Jesus the Messiah with the children. And last Tuesday we had a prayer meeting for the school in the church with parents and governors and members of staff and members of the church all praying together. Just a few of us, but still it's a sign. On Tuesday week we will have a school carol service, joint church school carol service with Kingsgate Ham as well in the church. So God is at work. A great door has opened for us and we are stepping in. And God is good. And next year, as you've already had a sneak preview in the prayers, Riverbank Trust and Insight, the schools worker trust that's building a new work in Richmond, having worked for, I think it's 25 years in Kingston, have said, can we partner you? Can we come and join you and work in Ham? Because we see the need in your community and we'd like to come and share. And I've been having these discussions over the past year, and I said, well, that's brilliant. That's fantastic. We'd love you to partner with us. The only problem is, as you've heard, the most I get on a Sunday is 40, and the majority of those are over 80 in age. We haven't got the person power. I used to say manpower, but I'm moving with the times. We haven't got the person power to help you. So with Dan's total agreement, one of the things I'm here to do today is to say God has opened a door of opportunity, not in Ephesus, there may be one there too, I don't know, but just down the road in Ham. And he told me 3 years ago, I want you to go to St. Richard's. And I said, surely some mistake. And he said, no, you. And I went, no, really, no. And he went, yes, you. And in the end, I came round to it and went, okay. Because he knew that there was a door of opportunity. There may be some of you here today who live in Ham or who have a heart for Ham, or Ham and Petersham. And a great door has opened up, an opportunity. And maybe God is laying it on your heart. I'm not going to lay it on you because that would be wrong. When I was a teenager, a traveling evangelist called Daniel Cousins poked me in the chest and said, Simon, I dare you to go to Russia. Will you go to Russia? And I was like, yes, yes. But at the time, I didn't think, well, I don't actually think that's God. I think that's Daniel Cousins calling me, because that's what evangelists kind of do. So I'm not poking you in the chest today and saying, I want you, or you, or you. But you know if God is prompting and saying, well, do you know, I think that might be his call to me. We have a great door of opportunity. Is God calling you? Because the third and final thing that I see from this passage is that it's all about teamwork. Paul was saying to the folks in Corinth, I cannot do this on my own. I couldn't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own now. There's this bloke, Apollos. This is verse 12. I strongly urged him to go with you. To go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Maybe that's you this morning. But you know the household of Stephanas. They were the first converts in Achaia. They've devoted themselves to the service of the saints. And I was glad when Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. I need these guys to come and work with me. And notice, it's not when I say guys, that's the generic American guys, including ladies, because Priscilla and Aquila are called to this work. Priscilla named first, because she was obviously the leader in that household. So Paul says, I'm just so grateful, because I could not have done this on my own. I've already told you, when we went, half a dozen came on team, and then another couple have joined as well. And we are so blessed by that. You, as a congregation, work together as a team. You know, it's actually quite fortuitous that Dan is not leading this service this morning, because it reminds us that somebody leads the service, somebody leads the worship, somebody leads the prayers, somebody does the children's work, somebody's on the sound desk at the back, somebody's making the coffee and serving that. Actually, church is only church when we all play our part. And God has given us each one a different part to play. And some of us have got to the age where actually we've played our part for years and years. And what we can do now is, because we've got a lot of time in our hands, is we can pray for all the others. God has created a team. And God knows our needs as a church, both here at Holy Trinity and also at St. Richard's. And in his grace and goodness, God said, oh, I encourage you some more. And he sent us a curate, a non-stipendiary curate, Sarah, who joined us in the summer. And there are churches, I'm sure, in this diocese thinking, how did they get a curate? There's only 40 of them and they don't pay their parish share. What are they doing getting a curate? It is a bit different with non-stipendiary because they pay their own way. The diocese doesn't pay them. But even so, it's God's grace and it's God's goodness. And it's also actually the bishop's desire to see mission in the more deprived areas of our diocese, because he is committed to that. And that's true of where your church school is and where you are located too. So God is building his work in Ham. And I give enormous thanks for that. When I came here and spoke 18 months ago, who knew, I certainly didn't, what kind of response we'd get. After a year, I thought I really ought to give a report to St. Paul's Kingston Hill, because they asked for it, on how things are going. But I don't want to do that myself. And I was actually slightly kicked by God into saying, okay, ask the congregation. No strings attached. You can make it anonymous. Fill in this form that says, I have seen at St. Richard's over the past year, whatever you like. So you can make it practical, you can make it spiritual, whatever. And most people responded. And there was not a single negative comment among them. Instead, they were remarkably positive, because they're anonymous, I don't know who said what. But they're remarkably positive things saying, I've seen reconciliation, I've seen new hope, I've seen new vision, I've seen people come and join us and give of themselves. Someone said, I've seen a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. My wife said, we missed that, what was that? But actually, from their experience of church, just people being prayed for and anointed with oil on Pentecost might have been for them a powerful move of the Holy Spirit. We've seen God doing great things. Now a wonderful door of opportunity is open for us. Will you pray for us? that we can partner with Riverbank and we can partner with Insight and we can go on building this work and we can fulfill the ministry that I was called to 3 years ago. God gave me very unoriginally the passage from Isaiah chapter 61, Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's appointed me to bind up the brokenhearted. That was our first job, to bind up this really hurting church and bring reconciliation and hope and vision. And we've seen him do that. But more than that, to open, to bring freedom to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind, and to preach good news to the poor. And that's the next step, to look out from beyond the church where the work of healing and reconciliation has done so wonderfully, and now to say, we want to bless the community, we want to reach the community. And Riverbank and Insight give us a wonderful opportunity to do that in partnership. So even if God is not calling you, be encouraged, be thanked for your generosity and your gifts. And please, let us carry on as we're part of it. I mean, I know the deanery means very little to most people at Holy Trinity of Richmond. We're in the same deanery, which is the same sort of area of the Church of England. So we are in partnership. But let us go on in partnership, and let us continue to encourage and bless you. And please continue to pray for us. Thank you.